Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Ria. I am your host, and today I am joined by Stuart Austin. He is the director of Pro Marine Finance. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Ria.
Thank you for joining us. This is the first time that I've ever actually had somebody on to talk about the financing of boats. We talk a lot about many things within the yachting industry, but I'm not sure why this is the first time, because unless you can finance a boat, I mean, unless you're buying, you know, a $10 million yacht and, you know, you've got the cash in your back pocket, most people do have to go through a finance route. So this is really good for our listeners to find out a little bit about the pitfalls and what to look for when going to finance a boat. Why would you suggest somebody come to a company such as yours as opposed to going to a regular bank?
Well, that's a good question, Ria. The marine finance is specific to the boat, and anybody wanting to buy a boat and finance it would normally try to borrow a reasonable amount of money and secure against the boat. Banks generally will lend secured on property. So if you're a homeowner and you want to refinance your house, or you're able to refinance your house, that would release a certain amount of cash to buy a boat. Depending on how much the boat is going to cost, that cash may or may not be enough for you to buy that boat. And of course, if you're not a homeowner or you don't wish to use your home as security, then the most flexible way to raise funds above a certain value would be to use the boat as security. And that's what specifically marine finance is. And that's using a marine mortgage, which is a secured loan, very similar to a residential property mortgage, but the boat is the asset, and it's that asset that provides a security to a lender, such as ourselves, as Pro Marine Finance.
How long have you been in the finance industry?
Well, myself, I've been in the finance industry since 1986, when I was a fresh-faced university graduate. And I've established a finance business of my own since 1991, but specifically we've been involved in marine finance since 2010. So we've just had, literally last month was our 10th year. So we just had our 10-year anniversary financing boats.
Why did you get into financing boats from just regular finance?
Well, I'm very pleased I did, because when everybody now talks to me about the what they're looking to buy, I can go and surf the internet with them, and we're both looking at fantastic boats. But prior to that, we were financing business-to-business assets, such as forklift trucks and racking, and indeed we still do that. And it was really sprung out of a conversation with my accountant, who was aware of my boating interest, as to why we didn't finance boats. And I just found myself giving him a whole list of answers as to why we didn't finance boats. And they were answers that I'd remembered during my career, why I'd been told why people didn't finance boats. And I actually got quite annoyed with myself, listening to myself saying reasons why we couldn't do this, when I actually didn't know myself. So I went and took the trouble to ring boat brokers and talk to people in the industry to find out how marine finance worked and how the market was being serviced by the lenders that were in that marketplace at the time. And so I saw there was an opportunity, and we kind of jumped in there in September 2010.
I mean, I know a lot of people, they'll get into real estate, for example, or, you know, one of the big things when everybody's growing up is you have to invest in a home, et cetera.
Yeah.
Is there a value in purchasing a boat? Is it the same sort of value that goes along with, say, for example, purchasing a home?
Are you talking value in terms of financial or some other kind of value?
Well, I imagine, no, in terms of financial, a home is seen as an investment. Is a boat seen as that same sort of idea, as an investment?
That's an interesting question, because you've also made me think about the other part of that reason why we decided to finance boats was because we had a little 18-foot, 20-foot, 1977 Drascombe Drifter and a family of five, which just could not fit into it. And a broker very coldly told me to sell it and get one that would be big enough to live on. Big enough for us to use as a family. And I felt myself welling up emotionally, thinking, how could I sell this little boat that was completely impractical that I'd fallen in love with and had these wonderful family experiences? And so I thought, if I felt like that emotionally, then there's a good chance that other people that we work with and would speak to would feel the same. So depending on the type of boat, you definitely get an emotional value and an emotional buy-in. And then, of course, if you look at the inland boats that we finance in the canal and river inland waterways in the UK, then a lot of those customers that we're lending to, that actually becomes their home. So they are liverboards. And as far as I'm aware, certainly as of today and most of this year, we are the only lender financing liverboards. So in that sense, directly answering your question, there is a value because people are buying these boats and as property to live on, as an alternative to bricks and mortar. But then the other side, which specifically you didn't ask, but I've kind of led it towards it, then other areas of sailboats, power boats, ribs, they become a very much an emotional value, personal value. And I would almost put it as becoming a member of the family, whether it be somewhere between the pet and the child, in terms of priority. All those with pets might argue that the pet is more important, but it does have that kind of persona. And that's very much the way it affected me. And that, along with my accountant and the bit of research that we did, persuaded me that this was a good market to enter. Does that answer the question?
Completely. Now, when you're looking to purchase a boat, what are the things that you are you capable as a company to advise a client? You know, yes, this boat is a good investment. It will, you know, it's good money, good value for your money, or this one isn't. Are you folks able to help them with that?
Yes and no, which is another answer that I don't like giving, but that is a fact. So what really sets us apart in our industry is that all of us who work in primary finance have a boating interest. And a few of us will have owned a number of boats, from ribs, sailing craft, from yachts to dinghies. So we understand the purchasing process, but also the purchasing pains. Now, whenever we finance a boat, the agreement or the offer that we make is subject to a satisfactory survey, valuation, and title documentation. And those are three linked but separate parts. So for a boat to be considered suitable to lend against, I would also need to be suitable for the person who's buying it to want to buy it. There's not always a direct agreement on that, because some people want to buy the boat regardless of its condition. Well, we've advised them, well, it's a condition and a requirement from us that they have to have a survey. And that's very similar to a property survey. There are independent professional boat surveyors who will look over a boat and be able to make an assessment as to its relevance and appropriateness for what that person is planning to do. And as part of that survey, they will also give us a valuation. So we will know a combination of condition and value is very much linked. So a boat in poor condition, not surprisingly, has a lower value. But based on the surveyor's identification and recommendations of work that's required, we can make an assessment of what that might cost. If you then link that with what the customer can afford and to what the boat is valued, you have a good idea that naturally provides advice to the customer, but perhaps isn't us giving us that them that advice directly.
How does the process work then? If you are, say, for example, I've decided that I want to buy a boat, how do I go about doing that? Do I look for that boat first, or do I come to you first, or how is that process worked out if I'm interested?
There's a combination of things. So either you've found the type of boat that you're interested in and a value, or you've got a specific boat in mind. We can deal with either. And typically, if you take the people can get from our website, can I tell you what that is?
Yes.
So it's www.marine-finance.org. But on that website, we are unique in that we put a finance calculator on that website so that a lot of customers can pre-qualify what they can afford before they even come to us. So they can find a typical type of boat. I would be surprised if someone was looking to buy a canal boat that was costing 50,000. They would unlikely then come to us wanting to buy a sailboat at 100 grand. But if they came with either type of customer with a specific boat type in mind and a generic value on our website, put in the calculator, and they would find out what monthly price that type of boat would cost. So, for example, and I can't tell you the numbers off the top of my head, but a 50 grand boat would need a minimum of a 20% deposit. You could find that over a period of up to 10 years. That might come out, for example, at £700 a month. Now, if that customer knows that £700 a month is an affordable, then they can fill in an online application form or pick up the phone or send us an email and tell us that they're interested in X type of boat, rib, sail, motor, canal boat. It's this kind of price, and £700 a month over 10 years is where they want to be. The alternative is that they come to us with a £50,000 boat that they found exactly with a deposit amount and a price that they want to finance, and they approach straight away to us, and both applications would go into our approval system. It takes about half an hour normally, and we would issue back with a conditional acceptance subject to survey, valuation, and satisfactory title documentation. And then you can either go find the boat that you want to that fits your dreams, or the one that you've already got, you go and put in that confirmed offer, finances in place, let's crack on and get the boat bought.
And what is, do you have a minimum of what you lend and a maximum?
We don't really have a minimum. We have done as low as 3,000. Most recently, we're looking at lending 8,000. I think probably 10 to 20 would be a more of a minimum. Our average is about 60,000, and the maximum lend that we would make would be 200,000.
Okay.
And obviously, the boat can be much higher than that. The people can borrow us. We would always advise them to borrow the lowest amount that they need and repay over the shortest amount possible. Most people tend to do it the other way around. They tend to borrow as much as they can. So that's a minimum 20% deposit and the maximum term, which is 10 years.
That would increase your interest payments, would it not?
Absolutely. And one of our, yeah, we're always trying to, and that's the reason why we're trying to encourage people to borrow as little so that they're in less debt as they need, and then obviously pay as little interest as they need. I think the reason why, well, I know the reason why people don't do that is that we offer people the flexibility to repay any amount in full or in part at any time, and there's no interest penalty to do that. So to some extent, I argue against myself because if they can pay over a 10-year period with a lower payment and borrow more and just pay off chunks as and when it suits because there's no penalty, why wouldn't you do that? And the vast majority of people that we lend to take advantage of that scheme. So that is a quite unique in our marketplace, that flexibility to repay.
Where are you capable of working with people? Is it just in England or is it Europe wide?
We are UK primarily. However, we have got boats that are kept in France and Spain. We haven't done any boats outside that area. We'd be receptive to look at that, but it would be you need to be a UK citizen or a UK resident that has a boat in one of those areas. And it all goes to part of the unique story that we engage with every customer initially by email and website traditionally these days, although we're always wanting to engage with people on the telephone. We want to get to know them. We want to understand their circumstances. And that really does make us very different to other lenders in the marketplace. So we would want to understand why somebody wants to keep a boat wherever they want to keep it, why they want that particular boat, what they plan to do with it, and what it means to them. And we need to understand that. And where we're happy to do it, then we're happy to consider any of those possibilities. But any boat that is out, we do insist on that being Part 1 registered with our UK MCA. And if it's in UK waters, then we don't need that registration.
Is Brexit going to have any effect on any of this as far as how you operate? Or do you even know at this stage? Because nothing is solidified.
I can feel there's a COVID question coming next at this rate. No. So the Brexit, I'm happy with the COVID questions, by the way. The Brexit question, I've got to be honest, I'm kind of a little bit bored about Brexit. It's probably a lot of people in the UK are. I think it's keeping our European and UK politicians absolutely fascinated and obsessed with things. The only affected area where I've seen for us is that the impact it's likely to have on the UK European fishing industry, in the commercial fishing industry. And that uncertainty has just meant that we now don't want to be financing commercial fishing boats. We haven't got many. We've got one, I think, and we've been asked over the recent months of two or three. And our standard reply now is we don't really want to be looking at commercial fishing boats because of the Brexit situation. The VAT issue, again, that doesn't tend to affect too many of our customers on whether it's a VAT paid status boat and the potential whether they're being going to be charged twice for VAT. I think a lot of that is probably scaremongering, because I can't believe that the UK and the UK are unfair, but at the moment it's unknown. So I suppose whilst it's unknown, it's still an area that should be a concern.
Yeah, I guess that was why I asked that question, was because there was a news report out the other day about the VAT. And then there was a retraction. So, you know, once again, it's sort of the whole situation is one day one thing and the next day another. So, you know, people do get kind of confused. Right. Well, thank you so much for coming on board with us today. It is one thing that I haven't ever discussed prior. And I am glad that we connected, because it is of interest. And, you know, in today's day and age, a lot of people are heading in the direction of buying a boat, buying a yacht in order to get away from the norm. And it's a great way to self-isolate and stay away from get your vacation, like so many people are complaining that they're not being able to get at this state. So thank you so much. We'll make sure to put the information down below this interview. And is there anything you'd like to let us know before we let you go?
Well, no, Rhea, but I've really enjoyed meeting you and talking to you today as well. It's the first time for me being on the radio talking about boat finance. It's something we're very passionate about. Hopefully that's come across from me. We are very much with individuals and individual circumstances. And if I could just plug our website once more, www.marine-finance.org. We'd love to hear from your listeners. And if anybody references the fact that they've heard me on this conversation or this interview, then I'd be delighted to try and help anybody who's out there with questions or any boat inquiries that they happen to have.
Wonderful. Once again, you've been listening to the director, Stuart Austin, from Pro Marine Finance in the UK. You've been watching another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. Please tune in again for another episode.